grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, well, you bit off more than you can chew. You all know what that's like. You tackle on a project, and maybe you're very excited to do it, but then when you really get to it, it's too much for you. You bit off more than you can chew. And allow me to pull back the curtain for you. I decided to preach on these words from Genesis chapter 1, this creation account. And at the beginning of the week, I was very excited to do it. We don't get to talk about the creation account that often. And as I tried to prepare the sermon, that thought came to my mind, well, Pastor, you bit off more than you can chew. And I'm not saying this to excuse my sermon in any way, but the doctrine of creation touches on every other doctrine of the Bible. There's so much said here that one sermon cannot do it complete justice. But considering that the theme of our worship service deals with the Holy Trinity, that's what I want us to focus on. The triune God created to bless us. The very first verse of the Bible says, "In the beginning," and we have to stop right there. In the beginning, there was a time when time itself did not exist. The concept of time, the thought of a beginning, middle, and end, this idea of yesterday, today, and forever is not eternal. Time did not always exist. But even though time did not always exist, there was something or someone who was always there. In the beginning, God. Sometimes people ask the question, well, if God made everything, who or what made God? And the answer to that is no one and nothing. God is eternal. He does not live in time. There is no yesterday, today, or tomorrow to God. He has always existed. He was always there. And since God is eternal, He is the one that created time and everything else. And before we move on to the rest of this account, we have to focus on why it is so important that God created everything. As you know, there is this theory of evolution that teaches that everything began with the Big Bang, a huge explosion, and after billions of years, things eventually evolved to what they are now. Or some people try to join together the doctrine of creation, the theory of evolution, into one by saying that God was the Big Bang. He first created, but then evolution took over. Understand how detrimental this is to our God, to our faith, to Scripture, and to salvation if we believe this. One, it robs God of all glory and praise for what He has done. Two, it robs God of all His power, that He wasn't able to create everything, but evolution had to take over and finish it. Three, it robs God of His wisdom. For if evolution were true, then everything happened by chance and by accident and circumstance. Instead of looking at creation, it talks about that God had a plan in everything that He had done. Four, it robs God of His truthfulness. If evolution were true, then God is a liar. Because Scripture says that God created everything in 6 days that lasted 24 hours. There was evening and there was morning. And finally, 5. It robs God of His grace and salvation. Because if evolution were true, where does sin come from? According to evolution, sin has always been here, and sin isn't really that bad. It's just something that we can learn from and correct. And if that's the case, what's the point of Jesus dying for your sins? There is none. This is why the doctrine of creation, as God lays it out in Scripture, is so important. Because it tells us who our God is, who our Savior is, and how much He loves us. And now going back to the account, the verse goes on to say, in the beginning, God created. This Hebrew word for created is a very special word. When the word is used, only God is able to do this. And when it's used, it's to signify that God is creating something that is unique and special. And what makes God's creation so unique and special? When we have to create something, we have to use materials that are before us. And when we create, it may not be that significant. But God created everything out of nothing. God said, let there be, and there it was. God used His almighty power and His word to create. And what did God all create? The passage goes on to say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the whole universe. Everything that exists, whether it's seen or unseen, has been made by God. And you can see how God created everything as you look at that 6 days of creation. Day one, light. Day two, sky. Day three, land and the seas and vegetation. Day four, the sun, moon, and stars. Day five, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. And day six, the land animals. But as great as the sun, moon, and stars and the heights of the mountains and the depths of the oceans truly are, they all pale in comparison to God's crown of His creation, which is us. Think of how special we are to God and how He created us. Before God created us, He had a council with Himself. He said to each other, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And what does it mean that we are created in God's image and likeness? It means that we were perfect just as God is. That's one reason we are so special. Another reason is that before God created us, He did not simply say, let there be man and woman, and there they were. Instead, God crafted Adam from the dust of the earth, and He breathed the breath of life into him and gave him a soul. And from the rib of Adam, God created Eve and gave her to him. It's another reason why we're so special. And a third and final reason is when God created us, He gave us the right to rule over all of creation. The triune God created to bless us. But you may be wondering, where do we see the triune God here? Sure, we have the passage where God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. But where do you see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Why were these words from Genesis chosen for Holy Trinity Sunday? Well, you see God the Father here because all of Scripture gives the Father this honor of the one who created all, that He is the Father of all things. You also see God the Son here Although Jesus isn't mentioned by name, John's gospel says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made." The same Word that God said, "Let there be," is the same Word, Jesus Christ, through whom all things were made. But what about God the Holy Spirit? What part does He play in creation? Verse 2 says, "The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Now, what does it mean that God the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters? It doesn't mean that He was just floating there for no reason. It means that God the Holy Spirit was watching over creation, guarding it and protecting it as the Father created all things. Therefore, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all played a part in creation. The triune God created to bless us. And what did God do after He created everything? By the seventh day, God had finished His work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. After God created everything, He rested. Now, what does it mean that God rested? It doesn't mean that God became tired and He had to sleep. Because Scripture tells us that God never gets tired and nothing wears Him out. It also doesn't mean that when God rested, He no longer cared about His creation. For since He created everything, He has continued to preserve His creation. So what does it mean that God rested? It simply means that He stopped creating. He no longer had to make anything else. And therefore, He set apart that day as being holy. And what does that mean for you and for me? When God gave the Ten Commandments, concerning the third commandment, He said, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. This day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But He rested on the seventh day." God set apart this one day to be holy in order to bless us. This doesn't mean that the other 6 days out of the week we aren't focused on God, but on this one day, He wants us to set apart time for Him, to come to Him to worship and to praise and to pray and to give Him thanksgiving. And at the same time, we receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That's the whole point of creation. He created to bless us. But what do we do? Just like Adam and Eve that abused God's creation to satisfy their desires, we too can turn creation on its head. And instead of being focused on God and how His creation blesses us, we can become more focused on the creation than on God. In those times that we have said, "Lord, I know You want me to be here in church to have spiritual rest and to be at fellowship with You, but I'd rather be in fellowship with my bed and to get physical rest. Lord, I know that You stopped working on the seventh day, but God, You're not going to pay the bills. And therefore, I'm not going to rest from my work instead of worshiping You. Lord, Your word should be my utmost joy. But I find it more appealing to look and to listen to things that I shouldn't on my computer, my TV, or my cell phone than to have joy looking and listening to Your word. Lord, I should come to You and be reassured and have full confidence that You are in control and have authority over all things. But Lord, I am just so filled with my worries. And my worries keep me from you. Lord, I should be here to thank and praise you for everything that you have given me, but I have worked with my own hands to get what I want and need and deserve. And Lord, trust me, I deeply appreciate your love and your grace, because this means that I can do whatever I want. I can abuse your creation to satisfy my own desires, and you'll just love me and forgive me anyway. This is not remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. This is forgetting that holy day of rest the Lord has given us and treating it like it's garbage and filth, instead of diving into the ocean of God's grace. We remain on this island of sin and abusing everything that God has given us to satisfy what we want. And God, our triune God, does not condone this. For as he says in his word, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And how loveless we can be to our triune God. And therefore, my sermon theme should say, the triune God condemns to punish us all. My sermon should end there. I should say the word amen. Scripture should only be a few pages long. It talks about how God created everything to bless us, and we have ruined his creation, abused what he has made for us. And therefore, we deserve eternal death and hell. But Scripture doesn't end there, and here's why. From all eternity, God the Father knew what would happen to his creation and how we would sin against him and abuse what he created and not keep his Sabbath day holy. But God, in his foreknowledge, created a plan to redeem and to sanctify us. And through Jesus, the Word that he created all things, through that Word, he became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And he came full of grace. He remembered the Sabbath day and kept it holy, as was his practice to go to church. His greatest joy was to listen and to learn from God's word as he grew in his wisdom. He never abused God's creation to sin. Instead, he always thanked God for what he had, and he never worried, but fully trusted in his Father. And then Jesus Christ, God the Son, the Word, who became flesh, allowed his flesh to be pierced for our transgression, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. And then God, the Holy Spirit, brought salvation into our lives. He sanctified us. He made us holy. He even used God's creation to do that. Because through the water that he had created, connected with the Word, God washed away all of our sins, and he marked us with a seal, guaranteeing our salvation. And since we are his children, our triune God continues to hover over us, watching our lives and guarding and protecting us from all temptation and delivering us from all evil until the day that our triune God creates the new heaven and the new earth to bless us eternally. This is why the doctrine of creation is so important. The triune God created to bless us. And even though we have fallen into sin, we abuse God's creation, we don't always remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, the triune God created salvation to redeem and to sanctify us. Therefore, knowing his great love for us, let us always remember this holy day of rest that God has given, so that we may receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, so that the triune God may bless us in our lives. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Athanasian Creed, which you will find on page 132 in front of your hymnal. Just a few words about the Athanasian Creed. As you can see, it's our longest creed that we confess, and because of that length, it's not always used. But we use it here on Holy Trinity Sunday because it greatly expounds who our triune God is and the dual nature of Christ for our salvation. We confess. Whoever wishes to be saved must above all else hold to the true Christian faith. Whoever does not keep this faith pure in all points will certainly perish forever. Now this is the true Christian faith. We worship one God in three persons, and three persons in one God, without mixing the persons or dividing the divine being. For each person, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is distinct, but the deity of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory and co-eternal in majesty. What the Father is, so is the Son, and so is the Holy Spirit. The Father is uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father is infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father is eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. Yet they are not three who are eternal, but there is one who is eternal. Just as they are not three who are uncreated, nor three who are infinite, but there is one who is uncreated and one who is infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Spirit is almighty. Yet they are not three who are almighty, but there is one who is almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. Yet they are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. Yet they are not three lords, but one Lord. For just as the Christian truth compels us to confess each person individually to be God and Lord, so the true Christian faith forbids us to speak of three gods or three lords. The Father is neither made nor created nor begotten of anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but is begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeds from the Father and the Son. So there is one Father, not three fathers. One Son, not three sons. One Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And within this Trinity, none comes before or after. None is greater or inferior. But all three persons are co-equal and co-eternal. So that in every way, as stated before, all three persons are to be worshipped as one God, and one God worshipped as three persons. Whoever wishes to be saved must have this conviction of the Trinity. It is furthermore necessary for eternal salvation truly to believe that our Lord Jesus Christ also took on human flesh. Now this is the true Christian faith. We believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, is both God and man. He is God, eternally begotten from the nature of the Father, and he is man, born in time from the nature of his mother, fully God, fully man, with rational soul and human flesh, equal to the Father as to his deity, less than the Father as to his humanity. And though he is both God and man, Christ is not two persons, but one. One, not by changing the deity into flesh, but by taking the humanity into God. One indeed, not by a mixture of the natures, but but by unity in one person. For just as the rational soul and flesh are one human being, so God and man are one Christ. He suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose the third day from the dead. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and from there will come to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people will rise with their own bodies to answer for their personal deeds. Those who have done good will enter eternal life, and those who have done evil will go into eternal fire. This is the true Christian faith. Whoever does not faithfully and firmly believe this cannot be saved. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.